All right, let's turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter 11. These last few weeks we had a few messages on the topics of death and resurrection. And thanks to Kurt for preaching on at our Good Friday service on Jesus' words, "It is finished." And our message today is titled as follows: Believing in Jesus and His Resurrection Power. In light of Easter Sunday, we're going to take a look at a passage where Jesus first proclaims, "I am the resurrection and the life," and then He raises Lazarus from the dead, who'd been dead for 4 days. And in this passage, one of Jesus' disciples, Martha, professes an astounding display of faith in Jesus before He raises Lazarus from the dead. So in keeping with our resurrection celebration on Easter Sunday, we will focus on Jesus and His resurrection power, and we will see that truly believing in Jesus means that we will be not only believing in His resurrection power, but believing that He is the resurrection and the life. And as we take a look at Jesus, may we also be inspired to follow the biblical faith that Martha displays so powerfully in this passage. So we'll pick up in John chapter 11, and we'll begin in verse 1. This is after the passage where Jesus says that "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." And his own people and the religious leaders are increasingly becoming more hostile towards him. And by this point, they're wanting to kill him. And so now we pick up in chapter 11 and verse 1. "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.'" So the sisters went to him, saying, "Lord," but when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Let's pray. Father, we praise you, the resurrected Christ. That you sent Jesus. You lived, you died, you rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you that these things that you've done and these truths about who you are, Jesus, have been written down that we can feed upon them now. And we ask for an anointing on this time as we take to heart your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, for our purposes today, we're just going to focus on a few of these verses, and then we'll also move forward and to see what happens after Jesus talks with Martha. But I wanted to read the first part of the story and have it fresh in our minds as we take to heart two main themes today. And here's the first one, the glory and love of Jesus. Two of the things that's emphasized in this passage is the glory of Jesus and his love for his disciples. And I chose this passage for Easter Sunday, perhaps for some obvious reasons, but I'll just state it, that even though it's not the resurrection passage that we saw earlier, it is a true story about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, but before he does that, he makes this powerful declaration, "I am the resurrection and the life." So we're taking that to heart today, and there's a couple themes that John emphasizes in this passage, and one is kind of two that go hand in hand, the glory and the love of Jesus. His glory comes shining through, as well as his love for disciples. And in this case, the disciples that are focused on is Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. Jesus had many disciples. He chose 12 of them to be apostles, but there were other disciples, as we see here. And in this passage, Jesus' glory and his love come shining through, ironically, because Jesus does not heal Lazarus, but he dies. And then he performs a miracle. But because Jesus waits, his glory comes shining through. He also is loving his disciples as he's waiting. All right, so there's two points with this first main theme of Jesus' love and his glory. First, he reigns victorious over death, which is part of our theme today on Easter Sunday. The resurrection of Christ that we celebrate on Easter Sunday and we proclaim throughout the year is highlighted here in this passage, and it's foreshadowed. Jesus' resurrection is foreshadowed by what he does for Lazarus. Again, verse 1, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair." We had that passage read at our Good Friday service, and it's actually in chapter 12, but John's referring to, he's letting us know it's that Mary. "So the sisters went to him saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.'" It's her brother Lazarus. Jesus knew Lazarus and Martha and Mary. He loved them. And Lazarus is very, very sick. Now, Bethany was about 1.7 miles from Jerusalem. And Martha and Mary, they're sisters, they're disciples of Jesus. Their brother Lazarus is at the point of death, and they send word with a messenger. There's no cell phone in those days, so the messenger travels. And now verse 4. "But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.'" Lazarus is going to die physically, like all of us. He will die physically. But Jesus will raise him from the dead, so it doesn't lead to death in the sense that the first time Lazarus dies, he stays dead. Jesus will raise him. "And God the Father and Jesus the Son will be glorified by Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead." And the glory theme comes shining through here. Jesus says, "It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." So in other words, what Jesus is going to do for Lazarus is so that the Father gets glorified and so that the Son gets glorified through the Father. And this is a theme in John. One of the themes is that the Father glorifies the Son and the Son glorifies the Father. And this comes shining through by the fact that Jesus reigns victorious over death. Hallelujah. Now here's a second theme, or point that I want to go with this theme. See his glory and experience his sanctifying, faith-building love. In other words, as we think about Jesus reigning over death, we want to see his glory in that, and it should increase our faith. It should build up our faith. This is a theme in John, chapter 1, verse 14. In that marvelous introduction to the book of John, as many of you know, John begins by saying, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And he uses this captivating language to describe who Jesus is. And then in verse 14 he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." When we pick up the book of John, part of what God's intent for us to do is, as we read about Jesus, not just to learn facts about him, which are important, but to see his glory come shining through in light of the things that John says. And part of his glory comes shining through the miracles that he performs. Back in chapter 9, Jesus heals a man who was born blind. And in verse 3, John writes, "As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' And Jesus answered, 'It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but the works of God might be displayed in him.'" God was wanting to glorify himself through what Jesus was doing. And in the book of John, he calls these miracles signs. So in John, rather than the word miracle, he uses the word sign. Signs are something that instruct us. They point to something. And these miracles that Jesus does that are recorded in John, he calls them signs. There's seven of them. And if you have the sermon notes on the back, those seven are listed, along with seven I am statements, which I'll comment on in a couple minutes. But the book of John, one of the things he emphasizes is that Jesus works miracles. And those miracles he refers to as signs. And what he does in our passage today is one of those signs. They point to who Jesus is. And as we see these signs, it is to emphasize we should see his glory come shining through. And it should build our faith. Verse 5. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Jesus loves people. But if you are his disciple, if you're a believer, he has a special love for you that you've experienced in a way that those who have not believed have not experienced. That love is offered to you, but he loves his disciples. And that's true for you and I if we're a believer in Jesus today and we can experience his love. But it's interesting how he loves his disciples in this passage. "Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." Notice he doesn't rush off to heal Lazarus. He waits, Lazarus dies, and he's doing this because God's going to get more glory by allowing Lazarus to die and then raising him from the dead. But you know, it's one thing for you and I to read this passage 2,000 years after it happened. Imagine if you were Martha and Mary. Your brother Lazarus dies. Jesus could have come and healed him and spared his life, and Jesus does not. And John introduces this part of the story by saying Jesus loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary. He allows him to go through the pain and grief of death because he's going to do a work in their hearts, and he's going to glorify himself in the process. God has sovereignly set this situation up so that he can do a work in Martha and in Mary and in Lazarus and the disciples who come with him. Hallelujah. How about you in your life today? Are we seeing the glory of Jesus? Do we believe in his resurrection power? Are we experiencing his love, the glory and the love of Jesus? And do we recognize that sometimes it's in the storms of life, or it's through tragedy or brokenness, where our experience of his love comes shining through? And it's a sanctifying, faith-building love. To be sanctified means we're set apart and God is seeking to make us more like Jesus or holy. And he's seeking to increase our faith. And he does that by taking us through trials and so forth. Not because he's mean or cruel, but because he wants to do a work in us where we experience his love through the trial. Or to use the Psalm 23 language, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because the shepherd is walking with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they guide me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or as some of you know the story about Jesus, when the disciples are on the boat and there's a storm, and he's not, there's twice that happens. One time he's not with them, and he comes out walking on the water, and Mark says he's about to pass them by instead of calming the storm. He wants them to see his glory before he calms the storm. How about you and me? Sometimes we rightly are praying for our circumstances to change. And we're praying for God to move in with his resurrection power, which he does today. But God is also calling for us to embrace the sanctifying work that he wants to do in our hearts. And many times he's changing our hearts before he changes our circumstances. And here in this situation, John emphasizes that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, but he allows Lazarus to die. And he's going to do a sanctifying work in their lives, and he's going to increase their faith because they're going to see Lazarus die, and then he's going to raise him from the dead. He's a resurrecting power God. Hallelujah. But in our lives today, Jesus is doing a sanctifying, faith-building work, and part of the way he does that is by opening our eyes so that we see his glory, we see his greatness before he changes our circumstances. And that includes sometimes the circumstances that we want changed are not going to get changed in this life. Our ultimate hope is not this life, as important as it is. Our ultimate hope is that if we die before Jesus comes back, we're promoted to glory, and ultimately he will return. Hallelujah. All right, second main theme. The revelation and power of Jesus. The revelation and power of Jesus. We see his glory and his love. There's also his revelation and power that's emphasized. And I'll sum this also up in two ways. One is with his statement, I am the resurrection and the life. I don't know if you noticed at our breakfast this morning, but some of our plates had this verse on it. I thought, oh, how timely. I am the resurrection and the life. Verse 20. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Martha's saying that after her brother Lazarus has died. We'll come back to and look at this from her perspective in a moment, but first I want to focus on what Jesus says to her. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Bible scholar Don Carson says about this verse, it's a masterpiece of planned ambiguity. Your brother will rise again. What's he talking about? The miracle he's about to do? Or on the last day when all believers are raised from the dead? Well, he's talking about both. But he's about to do it. He's about to raise Lazarus from the dead. So he says to Martha, who's just said, okay, her brother's dead. Jesus did not arrive in time. She says, even now I know that God will do whatever you ask. But she's not thinking he's going to raise him from the dead. We know that as we move forward in the story. Because she objects when he says, move away the stone. And she's like, well, there's going to be a bad odor and so forth. But she, even though her brother is dead, and even though Jesus, who she already knows has done miracles, could have saved her brother, her heart's been broken, but she says to Jesus, even now I know whatever you ask, God will do. Her faith in Jesus has not diminished even though her circumstances got worse. How about you and me? Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Well, first, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Notice here what he does not say. He does not say, I have resurrection power and I can give you life. That's true. His focus is not on what he has or what he does. His focus is on who he is. I am the resurrection and the life. Also on the back of your sermon notes, if you want to look at it later on, there's the seven I am statements that Jesus makes that John records in this book. And the youth group has been going through these once in a while on Wednesday nights, looking at these I am statements. There's seven signs in the book of John, miracles. There's seven I am statements. In our passage today, it includes one of those signs, raising Lazarus from the dead, and one of these I am statements, I am the resurrection and the life. And this is one of the awesome things about Jesus that we don't want to miss. When you look at these I am statements, this is highlighted. The first one is in John 6. I am the bread of life. He doesn't just say, I give you the bread of life, although he does say that. In fact, he says that the bread that came down from heaven, the manna in the Old Testament, was actually sent by Jesus, not just God the Father. But here he also says, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He not only shines the light, he is the light. Another one in John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus doesn't just show us the way. He doesn't just tell us the truth. He doesn't just offer us light. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. His name is Jesus. Have you seen his glory? Have you seen him revealed? Do you believe in his power? Hallelujah. So Jesus says to Martha, who's made this declaration, she believes that her brother will be raised on the last day, and that's true. But Jesus wants to take her focus and shift it from her belief in the resurrection on the last day, which is important, and shift that to a focus on what she knows about Jesus himself. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now let's pick up in verse 28 and see what happens. When she, and then she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Verse 28. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher here is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Just like Martha. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And in the Greek language there, that has the idea of a righteous anger. Because Jesus has a righteous anger here as well as he's weeping with compassion. It's both. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Let me just stop there. Our culture today is in desperate need of this Christ-centered combination of a righteous anger about sin and unbelief and death, covered with compassion and grace. Too many times we get one or the other. Where it's like, oh, sin is okay, just live how you want. The most important thing is that we just love people. Or we can have the opposite extreme, where we see something that's wrong or we think something that's wrong and we're angry about it and there's no love. Jesus had both. John says that he was moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And again, that's a righteous indignation. Then he also says Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He was brokenhearted over the suffering of people. He was also angry about what sin had done to people, and the sin of people, including you and me. He has both. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of this blind man also have kept this man from dying? This is something that's very important. These are people who know that Jesus has done miracles. But their faith has not been put in him. Their faith is they just need to keep seeing more and more miracles. So they no longer believe in, their focus is not on Jesus, it's on the miracles. So in this case, because Jesus did not keep Lazarus from dying, they don't have faith in him. But for you and I, this is true biblical faith. Our faith is in Jesus regardless of how God does or does not act in our life. Just like Martha. Even though Jesus did not heal Lazarus and Lazarus died, she still believed in Jesus. Now she had more to learn, but she still believed in Jesus. Verse 38, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. And the Jewish belief at that time was that the spirit could hover and kind of stay around the body for 3 days. But by the fourth day, the spirit would be gone. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. Hallelujah. Lazarus, raised from the dead. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He makes this statement before he raises Lazarus from the dead. Martha believes. And that brings us to our last key point here. Embrace Martha-like biblical faith. Again, let's put ourselves in Martha's shoes. Her brother has died. She's already a believer in Jesus to the point that she can understand it. And Jesus, she knows, can do miracles. But he chose not to heal Lazarus. But her faith doesn't waver. In verse 21, again, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Is that true of you and me? Do we have this Martha-like biblical faith? Let me stop here and say, for those who aren't sure if you're a Christian, be thinking about what we've been talking about today. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the eternal God the Son. He has always existed. The Bible teaches us that there's one God who's three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. At one point in time, 2,000 years ago, Jesus entered into human history. He became a man. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He grew up, lived a life in which he never sinned. He did miracles, signs, like we're looking at today. He taught people as God, not just about God. And then he allowed himself to be betrayed, arrested, beaten beyond recognition, and nailed to a cross between two thieves. And then on the third day, God raised him from the dead, and he appeared in his resurrected body to over 500 believers. And then he ascended up to heaven, and he reigns now, he lives now, and one day he will return. Hallelujah. Do you believe? And it's not a point of just believing at one time, at one point in your life, but then also living a life on a daily basis in which we trust and believe. And to have a belief and a faith like Martha, where when her world comes crashing down, her faith has not wavered. She still has more to learn, but her faith has not wavered. Hallelujah. Do we have that type of faith? And it's with that type of faith where we can see the glory of Jesus come shining through. Jesus, who declared, "I am the resurrection and the life." And as we see his glory and we experience his love, be reminded that his love will include doing a sanctifying work in our hearts, changing our hearts before he changes our circumstances. And that sometimes we see his glory come shining through before the circumstances change. Hallelujah. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the resurrection and the life, and let's embrace this biblical faith that Martha had. And as we do so, God empowers us to face the challenges in life that are coming, that have already come, maybe we're seeking healing from, with a hope that we know where we're headed, and one day Jesus will return. Hallelujah.
Let's pray.